Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your love and your mercy. Thankful for the privilege granted us to assemble together to hear a portion of your word expounded. We pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. We're still in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. We're dealing with the commandment concerning parents. He reads, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, the fifth commandment, as we stated in our last study, is given in the first expression of verse 12. Here, where it says, "Honor your father and your mother." Now, in our expounding of the commandment, we have indicated that the word honor is translated from a Hebrew word, kabed, that in Exodus 20, verse 12, has the sense of to respect or to honor. Consequently, we have stated that honoring parents in terms of respecting them should be understood as dependent on the stage of life of a child in relationship to the parents. We indicated that when a child is still dependent on the parents and so lives at home, honoring or respecting parents take primarily the form of obedience as well as respect. However, when a child becomes an adult and becomes independent of the parents, in the sense that that child has left home and is usually in an unmarried state, then the primary focus of the fifth commandment is that of respect of the parents. Now, this respect for the parents, as we stated in our last study, is having respect for their lives. Now, this means, as we stated also in our last study, that if a child honors the parents in terms of respect, that child will do or should do everything to make the parents' lives enjoyable while on this planet. So we ended by asserting that there is more to what it means to honor parents as an adult child. It is with this more that we begin our study this evening. Another thing it means to honor or respect parents as an adult is ensuring that no one ever mistreats the parents or causes them to feel shame and disgrace. Now, this explanation is implied in what the Holy Spirit stated in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26 reads, "He who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace." Now, the word robs of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to devastate. But in the Hebrew form used in our passage, the word then has the meaning of to assault or to mistreat. So that the word describes someone that mistreats the father or shows a violent tendency towards the father. Now, the expression "drive out" is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to put to flight. But here in Proverbs 19 verse 26, it has the meaning of to drive out. That is to force out, or force to go away, or to go out somewhere. Now the word today, in some parts of the world, could apply in a situation where a child or children are eager to take possession of parents' house, and so they will force, say, an aged mother to go into a nursing home. Now such an adult, or such an act really, by an adult, will be dishonoring to a parent. Of course, we have to be certain to differentiate a parent going to a nursing home because it is difficult to care for such a person at home, as compared to being in an elderly facility because of the desire to have a parent's house or home. Now the action that's applicable to our world is that of forcing a mother out of her house into a nursing home because a child is eager to take possession of a parent's house. Now the expression bring shame is translated from a Hebrew word that can mean to humiliate. Here in Proverbs 19:26, it has the meaning of to act shamefully. That is, to act or behave in a way that brings shame. Thus, part of then of honoring one's parent is to conduct oneself in such a way that a person's conduct does not bring shame to the parents. Now, this is tantamount to honoring the Lord, though, through obedience to His word. An adult that lives according to God's word is one that honors the parents, since that person will not be involved in anything that will bring shame to the parents. So the point is that part of honoring them, one's parents, is being careful not to abuse them, either mentally or physically, especially when they are old, as implied in a passage we cited previously in our study, and that is Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. It is, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Still though, another thing that it means to honor one's parent is to take care of them when they are old. Now this exposition of the fifth commandment we learn from what our Lord said to the Jewish religious leaders during his earthly ministry. He charged them of not obeying the fifth commandment because through their tradition, they made it possible for a person to neglect taking care of the individual's parents, as we may gather from Matthew chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 15 verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 15 verses 4 through 6, please put put your marker in Matthew. I'll go to one passage and come right back to Matthew. It is, "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. He is not to honor his father. With this, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So the Lord Jesus quoted the fifth commandment in verse 4 here, so that what he said in verse 5, actually in verses 5 and 6, are connected to the understanding or the expounding of the fifth commandment. So the clause, when he said, "Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me," is more literally from the Greek, "whatever you would have been benefited." Again, whatever you would have been benefited. Now this is because Matthew used a Greek verb that may mean to be of value. To be of value, as Apostle Paul used it to remind the Jews that circumcision is only valuable if they obey the law as stated in Romans chapter 2 verse 25. Romans chapter 2 verse 25. Romans chapter 2 verse 25. It is, "Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised." So has value here is the same word used in Matthew chapter 15 that we're looking at too. Here though, in Matthew 15 verse 5 though, the word means to profit or to benefit. That is, to draw a benefit from. Thus, then, the concern of the word in our passage is what will be of benefit or assistance to one's parents that is then described as gifts devoted to God. Now, actually, the word God does not appear in the Greek text, since literally we have what we have a gift, where the word gift is translated from a Greek word, that's a word that is used for gift in a general sense, as it is used of the gifts of the Magi to the baby Jesus, recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 reads, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh." So, our English versions of added the verbal phrase "devoted to God" in that Matthew, or set apart, to help the English reader understand what it is that the Lord was rebuking the Jewish authorities for going against. Now the situation that the Lord spoke against was the practice among some who wanted to avoid their obligations towards their aging parents by claiming that they could have used whatever they could have used to help them, have been vowed to God. So whatever the nature of the help was out of reach of their parents. Now the Lord's rebuke implies that part of them of honoring one's parents is taking care of them, especially in old age. Now this was understood by Jewish teachers, since we have information that they explicitly affirm that one's duty to father or mother has priority over a number of other commandments, including that of the Sabbath. Now this point is that, the point is really that the understanding of what it means to honor one's parents is that of taking care of them, especially when they're old. Now the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, linked this responsibility to a test of one's claim as a believer. In effect, a person who claims to be spiritual but does not take care of parents is described as being worse than an unbeliever, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Of course, hold on to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll pick another verse from that chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 reads, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, parents are included as part of one's relatives. Now, this we deduce that even go to the grandparents. Now, we deduce from direct reference to them, though, as those a believer is obligated to take care of, as implied in the same 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren," see, "they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, parents, grandparents, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." Now notice that a child could not possibly finish paying his or her debt to the parents, as implied in the verbal phrase, look at what it says, "so repaying their parents." Repaying. Thus then we contend that honoring one's parents includes taking care of them, especially when they are old. Now, taking care may or may not involve financial support. Depending on the parents' financial situation, since most parents, especially in this country, for example, have more resources than their children. Many. Now, this would mean that taking care of them should involve meeting those needs that money could not possibly meet, such as keeping company with them or whatever other things they need in their old age. Now, many years ago, when I thought I explained, if you have a problem that money can solve, it's really not a problem. And some people just laughed at it. And I remember somebody told me, one of his, I think, employees came, and that person, he said the same thing to the person. And it's, a few months later, the person was having really a marital problem and came back to the same individual. And then they said, well, how much money can fix this problem? He said, none. He said, yeah, that's exactly what I told you many months ago. Now, you see, money is not everything. We need to have it, but it's not everything. So, it's people who have things, they have money. When they are old, if they don't have somebody to keep them company, their money don't mean anything. Now, when I say this, I remember hearing this one of these news things that they were putting up. An old woman in Florida, very wealthy, millionaire widow. And these people from the Caribbean keep calling, scamming, and she said, I know. But that's the only people that call me. So I give them my money. I know they were scamming me. But they're the only one call me. From month to month, I don't get any call from anyone. And that, when I heard that, I said, that's horrible. I don't know if she had children or not. So, money is not, when you get old, money doesn't mean anything, I'm telling you. It doesn't mean anything in the world. The company is more important than money you can give to an aged parent. So in any event, we should recognize then that honoring parents as part of keeping the fifth commandment requires taking care of them when they are old. Now be that as it may, in our introduction of the study of the Ten Commandments, we indicated that the fifth commandment is the only commandment that has an immediate promise related to living attached to it. Now, the promise associated with keeping the fifth commandment is introduced in Exodus 20, verse 12, with the phrase, so that. Now, that expression, so that, is translated from a Hebrew word that as a preposition may mean on account of, for the sake of. It's also used by the psalmist to convey that the Lord guides him in the path of righteousness that leads to blessing because of all, for the sake of his reputation, as we read in Psalm chapter 23, verse 23. Psalm 23, verse 3. It is, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now the Hebrew word, as a conjunction, may be used to convey purpose, so that it may be translated in order to, as it is used to describe the purpose of Jehu acting deceptively towards the prophets of Baal, which was to destroy them, according to 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 19. 2 Kings. Chapter 10, verse 19. 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 19. It is, now, summon all the prophets of Baal, all his ministers, and all his priests. See that no one is missing. because I am going to hold a great sacrifice for Baal. Anyone who fails to come will no longer live. But Jehu was acting deceptively in order, that's a Hebrew word here, in order to destroy the ministers of Baal. Now in our passage of Exodus 20 verse 12, the Hebrew word is used to convey purpose, so that it may be translated so that, or in order that, or any conjunction that can state purpose. Now the purpose served by the Hebrew word used is to introduce then the promise of keeping the fifth commandment as given in the clause of Exodus 20 verse 12 that we're studying. Look at it, say, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, many have misapplied that commandment. I mean, that promise. I'm going to try to untangle it this evening. Now, literally though, the Hebrew reads, so that your days can be long on the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Again, let me read that. That's literally, so that your days can be long on the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Again, since this promise has not been properly understood by many, it will be necessary to examine some words in the clause to help ensure proper understanding or interpretation of the promise associated with the fifth commandment. Now the word days is in the literal translation I gave you when I say, so that your days can be long in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. That is translated from a Hebrew word. Most of you already, you've heard that, sometimes here, Yom Kippur. Yeah, that Yom is the Hebrew word day. Day of, you know, covering or atonement. So the word Yom may mean day as a unit of time reckoned from sunset to the next sunset, including two or more segments, that is morning and evening, that's about 24 hours, as that's the way it is used in creation account in Genesis chapter 1 verse 5. Of course, you know, there are disputes among scholars whether these days are actually 24 hours. But at least it has two periods of morning and evening, so to say. Here is, God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now the word may mean time period, formerly day, that is an indefinite time period though, ranging from relatively short to very long, so that it means years and beyond. As it is used to describe Moses' stay in Midian, as stated in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Exodus chapter 2 verse 23. It is, during that long period, that's a Hebrew word, yom, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help, because of their slavery went up to God. Now the word actually may mean years. as it is used to describe the period of Israel's then enslavement in Egypt, as recorded in Numbers chapter 20, verse 15. Numbers 20, verse 15. Numbers 20, verse 15. It reads, "Our forefathers went down into Egypt and lived there many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our fathers." Now the word may simply mean time, as it is used in the description of God's judgment on the house of Eli, the priest, as stated in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 31. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 31. It is, "The time is coming when I will cut your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your family line." Now that word time is the same Hebrew word translated day. Now in our passage though of Exodus 20 verse 12, the word means period. That is, again, an indefinite portion of any continued state or existence. Now this period is associated with the verbal phrase in the little translation I gave you of Exodus 20 verse 12, because it reads, "can be long." That time can be long. Or in the NIV, they simply say, "may live long." Hebrew say, "can be long," but they say, "may live long." Now the expression "live long" of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to be long, as it is used to describe the stay of Isaac in Gerar before Abimelech realized Sarah was his wife, as stated in Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. It is, "when Isaac had been there a long time." See, it's really to be long, but here it said, "have been there a long time," is to be long. "Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah." Now in the Hebrew form that the word is used in our passage, it has several meanings. It can mean to prolong. As in the promise of Yahweh then to Israel, if they obeyed him, as stated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31. Verse 33. Very similar to what we're looking at now. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. It reads, "Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. So here the Hebrew word is translated prolong. Now the word may also mean to survive, or to outlive, as it is used to describe the extent that Israel continued with the worship of Yahweh after the death of Joshua, before getting into idolatry, as described in Judges chapter 2, verse 7. Judges chapter 2 verse 7 reads, "The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua." Now, that's of course the importance of leadership, because of the leadership of Joshua. They followed worshiping the supreme God and getting away from idolatry. He said, "And of the elders who outlived him," that word outlived, that's our Hebrew word, translated "live long" in NIV, says, "who outlived him and who has seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel." Now the word also may mean to delay, or to defy, as it is used in describing God delaying his wrath against Israel, as reported in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9. "It is for my own sake I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to cut you off." Now, passage of Exodus 20, verse 12, though, the word has the sense of to continue long, or to prolong. So, the place of continuing long or prolonging is given in the clause where we're studying of Exodus 20, verse 12, where it says, "In the land the Lord your God is giving you." In the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now that word, land, is really translated from a Hebrew word that may mean ground, as what humans wear to till, to yield food for their sustenance on this planet, as stated in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Genesis and hold on to Genesis chapter 3 verse 23 reads, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to walk the ground." That's our Hebrew word, Adama, to walk the ground from which he had been taken. Now the word may mean earth, as where people live. So it is used to describe the extent of God's promise, or his promised blessing to Abraham, recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. It reads, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Here the word is translated earth. Now the word also can mean something like territory or country. As that's the way the word is used to describe where God will punish Israel for disobedience to his word, according to Amos chapter 7, verse 17. Amos chapter 7, verse 17. Amos chapter 7, verse 17. It reads, therefore, this is what the Lord says, your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourselves will die in a pagan country, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land. Here, referring to their country or land. Now, in our passage of Exodus 20, verse 12, though, the word is used in the sense of land, that is, a territory that is understood as a separate geographical entity over which control may be exercised by one or more political entities. So, here no doubt, because the word has a definite article in the Hebrew, it refers to the land of Canaan. That is a reference to the land of Canaan that God promised to Isaac and Jacob and those, of course, he stated that to them, and those who rebel in the desert, God said they will not enter that promised land. Anyway, our interpretation that the word land in Exodus 20 verse 2 of them refers to the land of Canaan, or the promised land, is then supported by the sentence of Exodus 20 verse 12, we're starting where it says, God is giving you. God is giving you. Now see that the word given is translated from a Hebrew word with a range of meaning. For example, the word may mean to grant, as it is used in Yahweh giving the land of Canaan to his covenant people, as stated in Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. It is, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord, your God, is giving you rest and has granted you this land. That's our word can mean grant here. Now in Exodus 20 verse 12, the word means to give in the sense of to transfer possession of the land of Canaan to Israel, since the Canaanites were already living in the land that God promised. Now, of particular interest also is that it is what we call a participle that is used in the Hebrew in describing God's action regarding the land that is to be transferred to Israel. Now, the use of the participle here indicates that the action of transferring the land to Israel has not been completed, but the process of doing so had begun once the Israelites were on their way to Canaan. That process had begun, not completed. Hence, there should be no doubt then that the land God was about to transfer to the Israelites is the land of Canaan. Now, we have considered the most key words in that clause then of Exodus 20, verse 2, and when it says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, or literally, so that your days can be long on the land that Yahweh, your God, is giving you. So having done that, how we should understand the promise associated with the fifth commandment. Now that we've seen, how should we understand it? Well, the promise is primarily a corporate one. A corporate one. That in a sense applies to individuals, but primarily it's a corporate one. In effect, we are saying that the promise of living long in the land is a promise that if Israel corporately kept the fifth commandment, they will not be kicked out of the land of Canaan. They will live in it for a long time. Now, we say this because God indicated that if Israel is faithful to him, they will permanently stay in the promised land, as stated in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21 reads, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now here Moses was not speaking of individual Israelites living a long time, but of Israel's permanent possession of the promised land. Of course, God's plan includes the fact that Israel will not faithfully carry out or follow him, so he could use them as an example of his punishment for disobedience of his word. It is for this reason that Moses predicted that Israel would not remain in the promised land for a long time, because God will punish them by exiling them to various nations because of their idolatry, as indicated in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 26 through 27. He reads, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. They haven't even crossed yet. They have been told, you're going to perish. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. So this has to be God's plan for this to be taking place. Anyway, the point is that the promise of the fifth commandment is primarily corporate one. Although it has application to individuals, but that is not its primary meaning. Now, we say this because some take the position that if one obeys the fifth commandment, then the individual's life will be lengthened on this planet. Now, this could be further from the truth. We say this because the scripture is clear that the length of a person's life on this planet is determined by God prior to a person's existence on this planet, according to Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. Now, one of the things that I know we have studied, think about it, we have been grinding through, at least since I've been here, over 28 years now. There's so much I've thought, and I assure you, you have forgotten a whole lot of that. But you will do yourself well if you go back and start reviewing those things, start listening to them. Because there's so much you've forgotten. Because sometimes I talk with people and they say, and I say, okay. I thought that many years ago. We have enough to keep you busy if you want to maintain your truth. If you want to keep your soul refreshed with truth. So here it is. We've studied this in the past. It reads, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, similar concept is given in Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job chapter 14, verse 5. It reads, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Now, doesn't a person will not extend his or her life because of obedience to the fifth commandment? However, what happens is that obedience to the fifth commandment means that a person will avoid a life of pain on this planet. That's what it means. On an individual basis. Now we say this because there are two passages that indicate that a person who disrespects his or her parents will have a hard time on this planet. Now I'm going to say this, and if you have grandchildren or if you have young people you talk to, help them. Warn them. Because there are too many adults that fits what I'm about to say. And they don't know what hit them. Now you see, you and I, we're sentimental. A child grows up rebellious and his or her life is a mess. And we try to claim this and claim that. No. It is these two passages I'm going to cite to you. That's at work. The first one, Proverbs 20:20. Proverbs 20:20. It reads, If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. So the idea of one's lamp being snuffed out in pitch darkness is one that indicates that a person will suffer restlessness and lack of direction in life. So, there are many adults that fit what I just described. In fact, the majority of the adults on this planet. And they don't know what hit them. They are restless. They seem to have any direction. But that goes back to how they disrespected their parents at a young age. And you never recover from that, apart from the grace of God and a serious spiritual growth. It doesn't mean you remove it. It won't remove the judgment. It just makes it easier to handle. Because that would be a law, spiritual law, when violated, cannot be changed. You save, you go to heaven, yes, no doubt. But it's not going to alter this issue that ye know to be in darkness. In other words, you look for this, you struggle with this, if it's business or employment or whatever it is, you try this, you never can find anything. You're restless. At that point, think twice. Could have been you were disobedient as a child. Now the second passage similar is Proverbs chapter 30 verse 17. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 17. It is the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Just thinking about, it's a metaphor used here. Just can you think about allies? Some picking out your eyes. Just think about that. That's the way to say you're going to have a hard time. Horrible time on this planet. Anyway, here the punishment, of course, indicates is that of a violent death as well. And possibly dying in a place where a person's body may or may never be recovered for burial. That's possible. But it's more likely, though, that the punishment is that of intense suffering before the person dies. So, a lot of time, you have seen, as some of you have seen, people, they suffer intensely before they die. And you give all kinds of explanation. May or may not be true. But that may be just because of this passage I read. Now, I've known personally individuals, these passages have played out in their lives. Exactly. I've known a couple of people that I can use as an illustration of this. Anyway, in any case, the principle, though, of the promise of the fifth commandment is applicable to an individual, the principle, in the sense of enjoyment of quality of life. Not lengthening, but quality. Because what we have here is a corporate promise given to Israel. But a person's quality of life can be improved in this planet if they obey their parents. And that is why, if you are still young, it's not too late yet. But for most of us who are adults, that's already too late. We're already in it. It's already kicked in. And there's no way we get out of it then. Grow spiritually and enjoy God's blessings to help you overcome those difficulties. But they will be there. They're not going to be removed because of God's word. Anyway, so it is because of avoiding this that the Apostle Paul more or less put in this passage as they encourage children to obey their parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. Ephesians 6 verse 3. It is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Notice what it says, enjoy long life. So it's the quality of your life. And that is why I say, you're an adult, you're a parent, and you have grandchildren. Be sure to try to instill on them the principles found in these passages. If you love them, if you care for them, so that they will not go through the hardship of so many adults that are going through on this planet. Now that aside, we have noted then that the promise of the fifth commandment is primarily applicable to Israel as a corporate entity, in that if they obey the fifth commandment, implying that they will be obeying the terms of their covenant with God, they will remain permanently in the land of Canaan. And that didn't happen either. So, here's the thing. We need to understand it is important that we have respect for parents. There's so much we have gone through this. And by the grace of God, if He brings me back alive, we begin again in four weeks. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening for your word, how faithful you are in warning and teaching us to be careful, to obey you, and to understand the implications of disobeying parents. We pray for those who are young, those who have parents or grandparents, that you be with them to understand this principle and be careful on how they deal with their parents and grandparents. Father, we also pray now for this whole group, that you continue to sustain them in the days coming. We pray that you guide, protect, shield this area for your own glory and honor. More so, members of this body, please protect them and shield them. This is our request in Christ's name.